Let me invite you this morning to find your sermon notes. You can follow along as we go and fill in the blanks. Use these as part of your devotions for the rest of the week. You know that last week we began a new sermon series called Unshakable. There is a great resource that goes along with it. It's this book called Unshakable, Standing Strong When Things Go Wrong. Let me just ask, do things ever go wrong in life? Raise your hand. Yeah, they do, don't they? Are there storms in life? That's a certain metaphor for the troubles of life. Are there storms in life? Raise your hand. Yeah, there are, aren't there? So it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. So we need to be prepared. And that's why last week we began with this stone. It has the inscription from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. The analogy of building our house, our home, our life on the rock, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. So last week we asked the question, who is Jesus? And there's really only two possible answers. He's either the Son of God, and we build our life on him, or he's not. And if he's not, then we're building our life on something else, which is sand, either our own strength, which isn't all that strong, or the things of this world. Well, today we're going to ask another question. It's really the flip side of who Jesus is, and that is, who are you? Who are you? And yet we will find that really it's all based on who Jesus is. But let's begin with this, another question. Anybody here ever watch television? Yeah? Television watchers? There's a certain commercial. It's one of my favorites, with Samuel L. Jackson. Do you know this one? He comes out and he is talking about Capital One. And what is the question that he asks? What is in your wallet? I've always wanted to say that. What's in your wallet, right? So it's a great philosophical question. You know, it's not just an advertising pitch, but it's a great philosophical question. You know, who are you? You know, where are you going? What are you doing? A lot of that can be answered by what is in your wallet. So, let's do that. Does anybody remember their first wallet? I remember mine. It was a little thin thing made of plastic. Very flat. About all it had in it was a few pictures of my school buddies and a couple of dollars. Well, I have a new wallet today. It's a leather one. It's a little fatter than what I had when I first got one, although there still aren't many more dollars in it than there was then. That's about the same. Let's take a look at the screen and see what might be in your wallet and what we can learn from it. So go ahead and put up the first one. So I have a credit card here that might make me a consumer, right? Spend money on things. Certainly the dollar bills could suggest that as well. What's the next one? I have business cards in here. It says that I work for Emmanuel Lutheran Church, just in case I ever forget. I have it right there, so I am an employee. What else? Library card might mean I'm a reader. What else? I've got a frequent flyer card here. So it's got the airplane on it, so I might be a traveler. That's good. I have a gym card, which is a little dusty, and I've also got a Dunkin' Donuts card. So I don't know, maybe I'm fit, maybe fit for what, I'm not sure. Then I've got this 5%. Is 5% really much? 5% from the pet store. Maybe you have a, you know, big box card, so you might be thrifty. Then I've got a lot of other things. I've got my driver's license. Good-looking guy, I must say. There's an auto insurance card, which means that I'm legal and I'm not stupid. I have my insurance card. I've got my health insurance card, which means I love my family, right? So I've got that. So I've got all kinds of cards, but here's the question, if you'll put it up there. Does all that card counting really define who I am or who you are? Or are these just false identities in the wallet? Well, let's ask it another way. If it's not the card counting, is my identity and is your identity found in what we do or what we have achieved? So I'm a pastor. I'm a son. I'm a brother. I'm a father. I garden somewhat, so maybe I'm a gardener. I play golf. I don't know if that qualifies me as a real golfer, but I go out there and play a little bit. I'm a Cardinals fan. Ooh, you're hitting me where it hurts. But what if I retire? What if I retire? Am I still a pastor? Do pastors ever retire? I don't know. What if my father dies, which he did a year ago? Am I still a son? What if my mother dies? What if my brothers move away to another part of the country and I rarely see them? What if my garden dries up in the next drought? What if the Cubs do win the pennant? Am I still a Cardinal fan? You know, in this electronic world in which we live, it's easy to have our identity stolen. The 11th commandment, I'm told these days, used to be, and I used to have this on my door, I don't anymore, but in my office, the 11th commandment was, thou shalt not whine. It's good to put on your refrigerator for your children as well. But the new 11th commandment is don't click, right? In the computer, don't click. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you can get in all kinds of trouble. Now, I've never been hacked, never lost my identity, but it can be done very easily. I just buy stupid things that I didn't know I bought and find out later. So, don't click. Well, in a very similar way, if our identity is so tied to what's in our wallet or what we have done or achieved, it can easily be lost or stolen as well. Let me give you an example. I've known a lot of successful people, businessmen and women, doctors, lawyers, farmers, plumbers, mothers, fathers. And so often when someone's career or job or occupation is taken away, you know, maybe through a downturn, maybe through a reduction in force at work, a RIF, through circumstances of illness or things often beyond their control, people will lose that job. And I've seen people just kind of be lost for a long period of time, searching for meaning now in life. Or when they lose their finances, sometimes when they lose their house. I've also seen people who pour their life, parents especially, into their children. And then when those children go away to college, or they move away, or sometimes if they die, the parents don't know who they are anymore. The closer we are tied to the things of this world, the easier it is for our identity to be lost or stolen. So this morning we're going to take a look, just as we did last week, about how our life can be built on a strong rock, the foundation of Jesus Christ, and to go a step further to see who we are and where our identity lies. So as we look at our gospel for today from Mark chapter 1, we have this very familiar story of Jesus' baptism. You see, our baptism is not where our identity begins. It really begins in the baptism of Jesus. Now, it says that Jesus was being baptized by John, and John was preaching a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Do you ever wonder about that? Why does Jesus need to repent? Anybody? He doesn't. Why does Jesus need forgiveness? He doesn't. He's the Son of God. He is sinless. So the baptism of Jesus isn't about forgiving his sins, but rather it's all about identity. How do you recognize Jesus, or how did the people of his day recognize Jesus before his baptism? Flesh and blood, fully human, right? But now he goes down into the water, and what does our scripture say? That the heaven was torn open, and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And then the voice of God the Father says, "This is my Son." The Son of God, so he's not only fully human, but he also is fully divine. Jesus is baptized so that we could identify him for who he truly is. Son of God and Son of Man. Fully human, fully divine. But then we also see that our identity is found in our baptism as well. Do we have the words there from our memory verse? The one in your notes from Romans chapter 6, is that on there? It says, in the words of Paul, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death." You ever thought about that? Buried. Buried. I was at Chuck Hunt's funeral yesterday. Some of you remember Chuck. We watched the casket being lowered into the ground. Reminded me of a year ago when I watched my father's casket being lowered into the ground. Can you imagine being buried? Not in the ground, but with Jesus in his death. Meaning that we are with him, or better yet, he is always with us, and all the blessings and benefits of his death are ours. As Luther says, the forgiveness of sins. We've been rescued from death through Christ's death. And not only death, but also the power of the devil, the evil one who wants to steal our identity, who wants us to think that it's our accomplishments and what we do. That is what defines us. We're rescued from all of that. And we have eternal salvation. So we're buried into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, and that is the thing that is so poignant whenever I go to a funeral and see that casket raised or lowered, I then imagine in my mind the day when the Lord returns and that casket is raised once again. But better yet, the life that was once inside. Well, the good news, my friends, is that we don't have to wait until Judgment Day for that new life. It comes already now in our baptism. As Luther says, by daily contrition and repentance, the old Adam is drowned. And so we're no longer identified with him. Not that old sinful guy, not that old Adam that's going to die physically, not that old Adam that is tied to this world, but we have a new birth. You know, in the Lutheran Church, of course, we have a font, a baptismal font, and we usually sprinkle or pour the water on the person being baptized. Imagine going down into a river or going down into a lake or a swimming pool and diving under. We have this beautiful illustration of being under the water and then the person comes up to the new life. Hard to do in a baptismal font that way. But we get that picture of the new life that comes to us in and through our baptism. And that then is where our identity comes from. Now, does it mean that there won't be troubles in life? Of course not. Does it mean that there won't be storms in life? Of course not. We know they're going to come, but now we see where our foundation and our identity come from. And let me encourage you this week to read in the book, chapter 1, and it talks about these things. You can put them up on the screen in order. God gives us peace and power and protection and a plan when we are uncertain. Let's begin with the first one. God gives us peace when we are anxious. Any of you ever get anxious? Raise your hand. Any of you ever worry? Raise your hand. We do, don't we? Even when we know our identity is in Christ, even when we know that our foundation is built on the solid rock, does anybody remember where Paul wrote these words from, Philippians chapter 4? Where was he? He was in prison. I don't know about you, but I'd get a little nervous. And yet he says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And I love the ESV where it says, English Standard Version of the Bible, it says, tell God what you're worried about. And thank him for everything that he has done. And then this peace that passes all understanding will come upon you. Tell God. Thank him for everything he's done, and this peace will come upon you. And then the next one, God gives us power when we are weak. So often in this life, we try to solve everything ourselves. And not just guys, but the ladies too. And so the storm comes and we're out there, you know, paddling in the rowboat, and we're trying to put up the sail on our ship. There in the midst of all that wind, we're about to capsize, and we say, I've got it. Why not call the captain? Don't rely on your own power. Rely on God's power. Especially when we are weak. Paul again says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. God also gives us protection when we are afraid. David writes in the Psalms that the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my redeemer or my savior. God is my rock and my protection. Now, this is David, who we think of as the king, but he was also a great warrior, literally fighting hordes of infidels, Philistines, Amalekites, Moabites, Edomites, mosquito bites. I love that line, mosquito bites, whatever it is. Lions and tigers and bears and all the rest. And well, giants anyways, right? Goliath. How did David defeat Goliath? Anybody remember? Slingshot. Goliath said, why do you come to me with sticks and stones? What am I, a dog? He didn't rely on his own power or his own strength. God gives us protection when we are afraid, and we are all afraid of something. Sometimes legitimately so, we ought to be afraid. Other times, not so much. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of tomorrow or next year? Are you afraid of a financial crisis, a health crisis, a loss of a relationship? We can find our strength in the Lord. He gives us protection when we are afraid. And finally, God gives us a plan when we are uncertain. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good and not for disaster. God has an eternal plan, a grand plan, a great plan for your life. Certainly for your eternity, which will end in heaven, for all of those who have built their life on the solid rock. But also for now. God's plan is for you today, every day, to be with you. Remember that Holy Spirit there in the baptism of Jesus that came down in the form of a dove? Well, that same Holy Spirit is with you, in fact, lives in you and goes with you every day of this life. Speaking of baptism, there's a famous quote from Martin Luther. Back in the days when he was sequestered in the Wartburg Castle, when he was translating the Bible from Greek into German and writing those catechisms, he often had an identity crisis, wondering who he was. He often wrestled with the devil. He often had times of great distress. And there is a woodcut, a portrait, if you will, of Luther throwing one of those ink wells, you know, with the old quill pens, throwing it at the devil. And then there is a quote. His quote is, "I am baptized." Not "I was baptized," but "I am baptized." In the present, remembering that that old Adam, that old identity, the one who could not stand up to the devil in his own power, the one who can't even weather the storms of life on his own, that identity is drowned as he remembers his baptism every single day. My friends, that is our identity as well. Regardless of what I've done, regardless of any titles or what's in my wallet, my identity can never be lost and can never be stolen, because I am a baptized child of God. I'm a follower of Christ. I am a disciple whose life and home and foundation is built on the solid rock. And the Lord will never forget that I am His child because of my baptism. May God grant that same identity and that same foundation to you as you too battle the storms of life.